of you, it's been an interesting week. This was the Wharton County Youth Fair. I know we've got some people missing because they're taking care of their animals and getting them to their new homes. Some of them are going to be bacon. Some of them are going to be ham. I love bacon. Some will be... I hear an urgent issue. A what? It was a pig alert. A pig did it. So anyway, I know that we sprinted this week in our house, and I know a number of other families did. Our kids, many of our kids that go to our church here, did such a good job raising their projects and showed them. Church, you would be proud if you would have seen them. And some of them, like McKenna, even won academic competition. She was, there's McKenna. She's hiding. She won the spelling bee or came in second. Like, anyway, we are just so proud of you. And what does the Bible say? Whatever you do, you work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. So everything that we set our heart to do, we want always for God to get the praise and the glory. And it's just a joy and a privilege to participate in making the great things, the good things that God has made great and wonderful. And many of you have done that. And anyway, y'all have, as a church, we have a lot to be proud of. Okay, so here it is. Here it is. If you ever listen to one of my sermons and go, what's the point? I know you have. You don't have to say amen. I already know. But here's the point. Conversion is more than coverage. Conversion is to grow in Christ-likeness. Now think with me for just a moment. When you and I became Christians, the Bible speaks of that event as a new birth, right? We have been born again of water and of spirit. Now I know that, and you know that when there has been a new birth, everyone is excited. Can't wait to share the information. When a child is brought into this room right here, that just maybe 2 weeks old, it's like a magnet. All of you, especially those of you that are ladies, you it's like, shoo, they all come to right there. I want to see, give me that baby. And some of you that are grandmothers, you're like, you're not going to get to hold that child during, I'm going to hold the baby during worship. And we throw parties and we celebrate all of those things. And is that good, church family? Of course it's good. It is a wonderful thing indeed. Now, can you imagine 3 months later if that child was born at 7 pounds and 10 ounces? 3 months later, that child weighs 7 pounds and 3 ounces. What would you think? It's not good. And then what would the parents think? Something's wrong. You'd know that. Parents would know that sooner than 3 months. It wouldn't take but a week to recognize that growth is not occurring. And so what would you do? You would take that child, you'd call the doctor, and you go to the pediatrician, there's the word I was looking for, and you would start doing all kinds of diagnostics to try to figure out what in the world is going on, because this child is not growing. And so new birth is wonderful, but God wants growth to occur. So conversion is more than coverage. I was having a good time Wednesday night with talking about something very similar to this. Now think about this. Insurance companies here in America have enormous resources of cash. And they do some of the best marketing in the world to promise you coverage, right? And they'll promote something. They'll get a country singer like Brad Paisley and a football great like Peyton Manning, and together they'll put those two and they'll sing a song. Nationwide is. Y'all have seen that before, and y'all can sing too, right? And so, nation. Now think about that statement. Nationwide is on your side. Who here does not want someone to advocate for them and be on their side? Nationwide touches that. Like a good neighbor. See, I can sing too. Well, maybe. Like a good neighbor. Oh, yeah, State Farm is there. That's right. And if you're Jake from State Farm, you're available 24 hours a day, right? Right? And so it gives you this idea that you're always, always covered. Let me do one more just for fun. You're in good hands with, who here doesn't want to be in good hands? Now think about all of those promises. You're in good hands, someone's on your side, and like a good neighbor. Are these insurance companies really all of these things? What I find interesting is they touch us, they connect with us, because we have a desire in each of us to want those things, and we need those things. But what they promise, only God can deliver. Amen? It's true. What they promise, only God can deliver. Now, the one I don't understand is, we are farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, bum. Now, I know in our church that applies, and it connects with us. Amen? But there's less than 1% of the American population are farmers. So I don't know. Evidently, it works, or they still wouldn't be doing it. But regardless of that, we're promised these things. And some of us, we are converted to receive coverage. Now, we do need coverage. We need our sins covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And we need victory over everything that would separate us from God. And so God promises us resurrection. And folks, when we have Jesus Christ, we are covered. But we need to move past, and we need to grow beyond just being covered. A new birth has occurred, but God desires growth. Look with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and following. And I want to share with you what Paul says to the church in Colossae and what Paul says to us today about helping us grow in Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and following. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Church family, when were we raised with Christ? It was at our baptism. If you look back at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Having been buried, when do you bury someone? When they die, a spiritual death has occurred. It's an allusion to our baptism. Paul's reminding them of the significance of that moment. You and I were buried with Christ in baptism, in which you were also raised with him. Do y'all see that? So the analogy and the imagery, or the echo, or the recall that Paul is trying to remind the Colossians is their baptism. You were buried with Christ and you were raised with him. So Paul's already established that fact in chapter 2. So he says, since then. So it's not just that moment of birth, but now it's that moment of growth in your life. Since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. It's a beautiful passage. The imagery here is a safe or a lockbox or somewhere that you put valuables. I know if you go to the bank and you put some assets in a bank and you get a lockbox, they give you a key. And they'll have a key, right? And so who has the key here? Your salvation is secured. I love that. It's really secured. Not by the goodwill and faith of the United States government or a bank or FDIC or whatever else. It is insured by Jesus Christ. Jesus has the key and no one else can take it away from him. And that is great news. And your life is hidden with Christ. It's in safekeeping, church family. You're blessed. And so it's hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Beautiful passage. What is the destiny of the Christian life? It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Well, because we're going to experience glory. So many of us in our lives, church family, and probably on a daily basis in unconscious ways that we hardly ever recognize, we are constantly dealing with guilt and shame or embarrassment, or we're defending against the potential of guilt and shame and embarrassment. But we need to realize that our life is hidden with Christ in God. Nobody can take the key away from Jesus. Amen? And not only that, our destiny is glory. In other words, you and I are going to experience in our lives the ultimate destiny that God has created us for, and that is life with Him. Paul says, now we see dimly as in a mirror, and then we shall see. When Christ returns, we shall see face to face. Now we know in part, then we shall know fully, even as we are fully known, 1 Corinthians 13. So that is our destiny as Christians is glory. So don't get all bent out of shape in your heart and your mind when you feel like you can't defend anymore. Recognize that your life is hidden with Christ in God, and God, when Christ returns, is going to be transform you into the ultimate glory that we all desire and that we long for. But now Paul is going to say, there are some things we need to do. We're not going to stay at 7.5-pound baby Christian. Y'all get my drift. We must grow. And that means there are things in our lives that are growth areas for all of us, including Shirley. Even though she's 99 years old, God is not done with Shirley Hunt yet. Amen? And He's not done with Ann Brown, and He's not done with Ken Lewis, and even Jay Boone over there. There ain't a better man in Wharton County. I do sincerely mean that. Ain't a man more sincere and just as great, as good as they come. We call those cats the salt of the earth. Hey, God is not, amen, Jay Boone, God's not done with you yet. Jay Boone's probably saying, McCord, you just need to spend a little more time with me and you'll find out there's plenty of room. And I would say likewise. And so what God wants for us to do is we need some sanctifying work. What does that mean, John? It's a Bible word that means God wants holiness to be reflected in our lives. If you look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "It to God's holy people in Colossae." Paul wants them to recognize their identity. They have been made holy through what Christ has done. Now, let's grow in holiness. So Paul's going to say in Colossians 3, verse 5, he says this, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature." All right, so we're going to pause right there. That's the growth agenda for us in our lives. There are some things that need to die. Now, one of the easy ways for me to think about this is if I'm going to put something to death, I've got to be intentional about it. And naturally, when I think about death, my thinking goes to deer hunting. We call it harvesting so we as hunters can all feel better about it. Amen? But anyway, so you have an intention here. And there is a whole business enterprise dedicated to the killing of a deer with big horns. A fourth of Academy's store is dedicated to helping hunters just like me harvest that deer of a lifetime. You can buy scents to cover your stink. You can buy scents to lure those deer into killing distance. You can buy camouflage clothing. You can get guns and bows. I mean, on and on. I can talk about this. This is great stuff. There's an whole industry dedicated to this. And so we as hunters are like, okay, what all do I need? And we start thinking through our strategy to accomplish this purpose of killing this animal. Now, I've killed deer in a number of different ways. I've done it through intentional harvesting, and I've done it through unintentional accident. One time I was driving to school. I was running late. I was driving Mom's lead sled, better known as a Buick. What was that? All I know is that's back when the cars had metal for bumpers, okay? And we call that thing a lead sled, and it was a four-door old woman car, which is also a four-door young teenager car that I've already learned about. Okay, we won't go there. Now, I was coming over the hill. We have hills in Tennessee, and you have blind spots. Come over the hill, and there was a string of deer across the road. If I'd have gone right, I'd have hit them. If I'd have gone left, I'd have hit them. If I went straight, I'd hit them. I just decided to go ahead and go straight and hit that thing. Brakes fully on. Boom. Hit a deer. Complete, total accident. I've never done it since then. And I hadn't tried either. It's just too expensive. There's cheaper ways. One time in my lifetime, I had an accident of hitting a deer. But over the course of my lifetime, I have intentionally harvested many. Think about what Paul is asking us to do. He's saying there's some things in your life that you need to put to death. He's inviting you to intentionality. And you're not going to do this stuff by accident. You don't retire by accident. You don't save money by accident. We spend money by accident because we fail to have a plan. We fail to tell it what to do. And then we find ourselves in a bind. No one said amen. Okay, but you know what I'm talking about. Same way with sins in our lives. Unless you and I are intentional about it, those things will remain. So Paul doesn't want us to have blind spots. John, what are blind spots? Blind spots are those spots, those places in our lives that everybody else can see except us, that are shortcomings. And the only way we'll ever see those blind spots, what do you do if you have a blind spot and you're driving and you're in heavy traffic? If you don't look and eliminate those blind spots, you're going to create a crash. And we do the same thing in our relationships all the time. We all have blind spots. I hate to admit it. I do too. One of the best ways we can overcome our blind spots is to ask those we trust and love, what are my blind spots? And I bet they'll tell you. Amen? But those are areas of growth in our life. If you really want it, and what should you fear? By the way, what should you fear by doing that? Some of us are so insecure, we would not take a bold step to grow because we fear failure. But what has Paul already told you? Your life is hidden with Christ. You've been raised with Christ. So why not grow up just a little bit? And I don't mean that to insult. I'm speaking it to myself as well. Why not risk growing up a little bit? Matter of fact, a lot. Paul says there's some things you need to be intentional about that you need to put to death. Whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Now, these are things in our lives. Let me put it this way. Human sexuality, good or bad? If you were bold enough to answer this morning, you would say it's good. Why is it good? Because God created it. Did he put boundaries and borders around that to accomplish his purposes in our lives? For intimacy and for procreation, right? It's God designed. Somehow in the church, we had this idea that's been given to us, and some traditions of faith won't even allow their preachers to marry because they have a view of sexuality that's very low. Scripture actually tells a different story. God has a high view of that. But if you take something that is beautiful and you don't connect righteousness to it, it becomes debased. Let me illustrate it this way. From Scripture, from the first story in creation, there was something of beauty, right? Eve looked at the fruit and she saw that it was pleasing to the, help me church, it was pleasing to the eye. And she saw that it was good for food. And what did she do? She took something. Here was something that was beautiful, but she didn't connect it with something. She had a love of beauty more than she had a love of righteousness. Do you hear me, church? Say amen. Do you hear me? Had a love of beauty, but didn't have a love of righteousness. And see, anytime we have a love of beauty and we don't have a love of righteousness, we take something and then we debase it and it messes up what God's intent is. We as a culture in America are in a real crisis, a crisis of morality. And churches can and church families can be in a real crisis because of a crisis of immorality. And so we need to do some killing. Paul says that these things you put to death. Because of these, verse 6, the wrath of God is coming. He says, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. So all that's what I call gospel. That is good news that God can redeem all things. Amen? Including everything that was just previously mentioned in the scripture. God can cleanse it and forgive it and heal it. Now, you must also rid yourselves of all such things as anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language from your lips. See, that might hit, hopefully all of this hits close to home. And you have to ask yourself, do I want to stay a 7.5-pound Christian? And it's going to look quite odd if I've been a Christian for 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 years and I am not growing with regard to these things that Paul mentions. And he says, also, verse 9, do not lie to each other since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of the Creator. And he says, here there's no Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all. All of these ways in which we used to categorize and stereotype people so that we can slot them in their correct place in order that we could figure out our status and where we rank within all of this. Paul says you do all of that. Put it away. He says here, we're all one. We're all one. Christ is all. And church family, this may be hard for some of us to recognize. Christ is in all. Every person that's given their life to Jesus Christ in this church is in Christ, is in them, and they are in him. It almost sounds like John 15, abiding in the vine. It does. And then he says this, therefore is God's chosen people holy and dearly loved. Okay, how come I have the courage to work on these things in my life, intentionally identifying them, not having blind spots in my life? I'm growing. I don't just have insurance, but I'm actually growing in my Christian life. How can I do that? It is because, he says in verse 12, I'm holy and dearly loved. And then he says, okay, so we're going to eliminate vice and we're going to implement virtue. What are the virtues here for all of us as Christians? So we don't just search and destroy. We're going to secure and hold. Those are military strategies. When they fly somebody in, they have some guys on the ground. We call it boots on the ground. And they search and destroy. These are things we need to search and destroy. And then we hold and secure. So we're going to create a protective barrier. And we're going to invite these virtues. As the vice go out, the virtue comes in. We clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other. And church family, this is what it says. And forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, that's tough stuff. But then you realize, if God could recall my offenses against him, I might not only be embarrassed, I would be obliterated. I would be destroyed. And the scripture says, here's the principle for us to live it. This is how you know if you're a 7.5-pound Christian that ain't growing, or you actually have a little bit of maturity going on in your life, is when we can release those of the debts that we have against them. And it's just like Jesus taught us to pray, Father, forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. Just as Christ has forgiven us, so we should let go. We just moved from a 7.5-pound baby Christian to growing up a little bit. When we have this at work in our life, and we begin to see these blind spots, and then we start working on them, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all of these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity, which is what God has always desired in our lives. The church family, conversion is more than coverage. It is maturing into Christ's likeness. Now here's what's wonderful about that. You and I get to work on this stuff having already achieved coverage in our lives. So we don't have to be afraid. We can boldly do this. We don't have to feel like we're being judged or critiqued or examined because we already possess this, these things. Now let's just do it. Amen? Let's just do it. Don't stay young in your faith, but let God grow you in our lives. And with that, I'll land the airplane. How about that? Somebody said, John, when you get through talking, just hush. Land the plane. And Mindy says, amen. So now we get to work on this today and this week. So let's put Colossians chapter 3 at work in our lives. If we can serve any of you this morning, we have this song of invitation. Let's all stand up and lift up our voices to God. Come forward if you need.